This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Yes, we have Cabaret Festival producer Neville Sice. Thank you for coming in.
Thanks for having me again.
You're very welcome. Now, it's interesting, actually, that we played that. We want to get into your background as well, but can I just ask you, that's 50 years ago now. What is cabaret now compared to what it was 50 years ago?
I don't think it's changed for a couple of hundred years, really.
A couple of hundred years?
Yeah. No, that'd be right. Yeah. Because cabaret, the word is probably from the Dutch or Flemish, meaning cabriolet, cabinet, small room. It's still predominantly in small rooms. A lot of interaction with the between the performer and the audience, which there always was because they were in small rooms crammed in together, and add the element of alcohol, which still persists to this day, and cabaret is pretty much unchanged.
And with the film, it was very famous in Berlin. Cabaret was, that's really where the home was in that era. Berlin was always known as being very edgy and whatever. And then, of course, it got wiped out because of the Nazi party. But the Americans embraced it heavily as well, didn't they?
Well, a lot of the American cabaret performers and producers left Europe at that time because of the war.
The war, of course.
And set up globally, but predominantly around New York.
Yep.
It's unchanged very little. But you go to somewhere like Wintergarten in Berlin, and that's still very much the old type cabaret.
Brilliant, brilliant. Absolutely fabulous. And, of course, Vegas. That's now a big, grander style. But back in, say, 50, 60 years ago, a lot of the Vegas shows were small.
Yeah.
They weren't the big show halls that they are now.
And I think the other thing, and it probably as well as comedy, you never know what you're going to get with no two cabaret nights are the same.
Yep, yeah.
It'll be the same show, but so random that anything happens.
Yeah, which is exciting. And, you're in cahoots with David. Yes. That you've done that when
I happened to live with him for 30 years.
30.
Cahoots is one way of describing
how
it.
How do you put up with him, Neville? How do you put up with him? The most loveliest man. And I tried to get him to come in. He wouldn't come in. And, he went, no, it's all Neville's gig this year. It's Neville's gig. But, of course, we know you because of the venue you had before you started the Cabaret Festival. What was that?
That was the Butterfly Club in its original house in South Melbourne.
Next to the Town Hall.
Next to the Town Hall, which you probably wouldn't get a permit for these days, but really exciting time. Exciting time for a lot of performers who had their start there, and also for us as new operators of an entertainment venue, come reception area. It was an exciting 10 years almost that we put in there, but really tough, a really tough gig.
It didn't hold many people, did it?
50.
Yeah,
we used to do three different performances a night.
Yep.
1,600 a year.
Yeah, whoa.
And so just booking those, publicising them, that was the day job. And then at night we'd be in the club.
Yeah.
Pretty punishing sort of schedule.
Absolutely. So you'd thought you'd get out and do the easy route, which the Butterfly Club's still going. It's now in the city.
Yep.
But the Cabaret Festival, Melbourne Cabaret Festival. How long's it been going now? Because you stopped over COVID.
Yep. Now, this is our 12th year.
Wow.
And as you say, it started alongside the Butterfly Club and with the Butterfly Club being part of it. But it was very obvious to us that, A, we were the cabaret capital of Australia, yet we were the only capital without a cabaret festival.
Yeah, which was interesting. Yeah.
And they were showing up in all the others.
But I also find it interesting that all of a sudden Adelaide, you know, like the cabaret festival over there, which is literally winding up as we speak, but it's supported by the state government. You know, like yeah, it's actually owned by the state government.
To a massive extent.
Yeah. So you've always done it tough, where as often local councils and stuff, but you have actually got a bit of, you know, like state government money this time, which
this
is
time
nice.
Around, yeah. It's something you can never depend on, unfortunately, because we've never been on one of those triennial funding tracks where you're guaranteed it for at least 3 years and you can predict your budget and so with us, we find out generally a month before the festival, and then we're going, well, what do we do this?
Yep.
It's always welcome, of course. But, it's the spasmodic nature of it is something we've learnt to live with, I guess. Yep.
And you've moved venues, which you've often done, but not too radical. Where are you this time around?
We're at Memo Music Hall and upstairs at the Ruby Carter Lounge, which is a fabulous small venue where we're putting shows that are one or two handers with a piano in a lounge setting.
Yep. So,
and Memo itself is a brilliantly run and really good venue for cabaret.
Now, for those that don't know where it is, it's in Ackland Street.
Yes.
It's sort of diagonally across from Luna Park.
It is.
And the RSL is in the building. It's on the front.
Yep.
And the main theatre is at the back, and then, as you said, upstairs.
Yep.
It is. And it's got such good reputation.
It has.
As you said.
And people who run it, who get the arts.
Yep.
And that's really important.
Yep.
And you don't find that with a lot of venues. Now, I think there was one year we went out to 13 venues across the city.
Whoa.
But they didn't all get it. And just keeping them focused on what it was about was one of the hardest parts.
Yeah. Now, we're going to be chatting today with people performing, which is lovely, get a snapshot of what it's all about. But we're starting off with the person that will be the MC at the gala. Who's that?
I'm going to do it again, and she's probably listening, but I'm going to call her a St Kilda icon.
Well, yeah, because she grew up in St Kilda, didn't she?
She grew up in
Ackland
Street.
As a little kid. Yeah. I saw that show that she did. I was
Hold
telling,
the Pickle.
A brilliant show. Yeah. I loved it. I saw it many years ago at the Arts Centre.
Yeah, so for Rachel Berger, this will be a return to the old neighbourhood.
Yeah, but she's not here at present, is she?
She's in Tasmania at the moment.
Yep.
Planning to move back to Victoria.
Yep.
But we're going to hasten that a bit and bring her over for the
right.
festival.
And what a great person to have, especially with her being part of Ackland Street as her youth, which will be fabulous. We've got Neville in from the Melbourne Cabaret Festival. He's one of the producers, directors. What do you call yourself, producer or director?
Co-producer, I think. This year it's probably producer.
Right. Okay. Hey, you shoved David out, off the cliff already. Right. Neville, what's it like for having somebody as fabulous as Rachel Berger as MC for the gala?
It means a lot to us because we've been trying to mark the fact that we moved to St Kilda or back to City of Port Phillip, which is where we started. And we've, with our branding, with the palm trees on our branding, everything sort of screams St Kilda, and nothing screams St Kilda more loudly than Rachel Berger. She's a wonderful lady and a wonderful ambassador for female stand-up comedians.
Yeah, and the fact is that that interview that we just did with her, she was, she knows you and David quite well.
Yeah.
She kept on mentioning that and the days at the Butterfly Club.
Yeah.
So it's good when you've got somebody that's emceeing your gala that you feel comfortable with that she's going to do the right thing.
Well, I hope she doesn't do entirely the right thing.
It wouldn't be a cabaret festival.
If I went too smoothly.
You're here on Joy 94.9 Sunday Arts Magazine. And before those messages, that was The Cure with Close to Me. Now we are.
I like it. I like that one.
We're coming towards the end of. Well, we're coming. Come to the end of a show. We've just got to wrap up a few things. We've been talking to Neville about the St Kilda. Well, the cabaret for Melbourne. I know. Cabaret. Sorry. Yes. It's just. Yeah, anyway.
Yeah. Well, we have had the pleasure of Neville Sice sticking with us the whole show today. He's the festival producer to this year. But Neville. Have we missed anything during the show today? Any other highlights that you really want to make a point of our audience?
There's one I've been researching a bit today because it's the music from Mrs. Maisel. Now, I don't know whether any of you guys know anything about this series, but I knew nothing about it. And I knew the vague storyline that I got from Wikipedia or somewhere was that it was about a middle-aged woman who takes up stand-up comedy. Mm. And I thought, well, how would there be music in that? So I watched a couple of episodes today just to get my head around, well, where's the music come into it? And it got me fascinated. And this is a show that's being put on by Nikki Curter. It's the music from The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. Mm. And I think that's going to be a standout. The other one that I like and we've worked with a lot is the Sun Rising guys who do the whole story, and it is a story and music of the fabulous Sun Records in Memphis.
Yep.
And all of the performers who started there, Jerry Lee Lewis,
Elvis Presley, Johnny
Buddy
Cash,
Holly, a whole raft of them. And they do it so well because there is a really strong narrative element in the show, and the guys themselves are perfectionists. Mm. So four of them are going to be doing a quartet piece in the opening gala, and then they come together with the seven piece, I think it is, the following night to do their full Sun Rising show.
Okay.
So that's a highlight. Prinny Stevens, of course, is a highlight. Mm. Trevor Jones, what can you say?
Yeah. Look, what I want to say is congratulations to you and David for a brilliant festival that you put together, the Melbourne Cabaret Festival. It's going to be a winner for you. And it's been away for a couple of years because of COVID. And it's good to have it back. And the fact is that the love fest for you today, Neville, with all the people that come in, I know you were paying them as they walked out. But, they all obviously respect you and David so much, and it's wonderful that you brought this festival back.
Thank you very much, David, and thanks for having me. Thanks, Neil.
Thank you so much, Neville. We've got
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.